You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and Will Smith on the latest edition, and we're looking ahead to Monday's action. Going to have a look back at the best of Saturday as well. We'll start by saying, hello, Mr. Smith.
Hello.
Are you well?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Very well. Fresh from the glow of the weekend's awesome action, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was a real treat. When you factor in that the weekend before, obviously, there was no racing at all. And then it was like Christmas Day, wasn't it, on Saturday?
It was, yeah. I mean, we had 9 races at Ascot, 8 at Haydock, decent cards at Goran Park and Wincanton as well. So, I mean, there was a Gold Cup trial at Goran Park, a Champion Hurdle trial at Wincanton, and then Grand National trial at Haydock. So the trials all over the place, and plenty of good pointers at Ascot as well, and some pretty blistering performances to boot.
Where should we start?
It's got to be Surname, hasn't it?
Yeah. I spoke to Gareth Topham on yesterday's podcast, and that was 5 minutes after Surname had annihilated the field. And we were both a bit lost for words, really. Yeah. It was just one of those performances that even when you watch it again, you just think, how?
Yeah.
I went out for a drink last night after I left here with a lad who likes horse racing, but hadn't seen the racing. He'd been watching the football. And I said, just search it on Twitter. And where it picked it up from was, I think, jumping the second last, and it's a length clear. And you think, that turn of foot is just astonishing.
It's astonishing for a horse that's made the running to that point as well, at such a high cruising speed, because he a factor of his performance in the handicap win last time out was that he went from the front, and he was so good from the front. But you can almost, because it was a handicap last time, you can maybe take it with a slight pinch of salt in that, okay, the horse is in behind, perhaps they were on an off day, they just weren't that well handicapped, they couldn't go that pace. So you think, okay. But then he does this same thing, the same method, to genuine grade one horses. You know, he had 4 horses in there that were rated between 165 and 170, which is real top level, notch.
Sometimes you get a grade one that is, with all due respect, full of grade three and two performers, really. Yep. This wasn't one of those.
No, absolutely not. I mean, there were. You take Surname out and you just have the others in the race. You know, you've got Waiting Patiently, who, you know, without Surname, he'd be a dual winner of the Ascot Chase. Everyone would be saying, what an amazing training performance from Ruth Jefferson. She's a genius. She's, you know, Fox Norton, who is a very, very good 2 to 2.5 mile horse. Politolog, of course, who has won grade ones around here. Charbel, who's Peterborough Chase winner, grade two winner. So it's chock full of very, very, very good horses who are not so by any means on the downgrade. They're all 8 or 9 years old, to all intents and purposes, about in their prime. And he has just gone and stamped all over them. And to me, I said it, actually, I was on racing radio yesterday, and I said it at the time. And I, at one stage, I thought maybe I need to take these words back here and just not be so hyperbolic. But I think it was the most scintillating performance that I've seen in my lifetime. And at the point that I said it, I suddenly thought, oh, hang on a minute, girl. Just calm down here. But the more I think of it, it is. I literally, nothing jumps into my head where visually that impressive, and also going through the form, just completely. I mean, he's run to a 180 plus figure.
Yeah.
Which is truly astonishing. And he, you know, for me now, if he's in the same form, he wins any grade one from 2.5 miles to 3 miles in the next 3-4 years.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
It's a big if, though, isn't
right-handed,
it?
Right-handed, of course.
Well, that's the thing. I was actually quite pleased to hear that the plan is not to go to Cheltenham.
Yeah.
Which I know sounds a bit odd in that our whole industry is based around everyone needs to be at Cheltenham. You need to have the best against the best.
Yeah.
But I think it's quite refreshing for an owner, for a trainer, to just say, no, we know what we're good at.
Yeah.
We're going to stick to it. And I sort of, it takes guts to do that in a way. But then some people will argue, it's quite the opposite of that. They're taking the, not the easy option, but they're sticking to what they know. They're not willing to be found out, perhaps, in conditions that don't suit. But I kind of respect them for it.
Yeah, well, it's doing best by your horse.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't suggest telling Paul Nichols he's taking the easy option, because you might get something swung around your head fairly quickly.
I think you probably would, yeah.
And that's why he has been such a good trainer for so long, multiple time winning champion trainer, because he knows, he's so good at working out what his horses want in terms of a set of conditions. And why jeopardise their chance to win races with those sets of conditions by running them under other conditions, which are going to just, you know, take the edge off them and use up their fuel tank when it's not, you know, necessary or not possible to be shown to peak effect. He is I wouldn't say stubborn as such, but he's strong-minded.
Yeah.
And he will not waver from that, I would imagine. And you know, he'll probably go to the Punchestown Gold Cup next, I would imagine. That would seem a logical target. That is in April, so there would be time for another run beforehand. Where that comes, though, I don't know if there's anything suitable. And then, to me, he goes off favourite for next year's King George. Though there is, in the same stable, this season's King George winner already there. I mean, we could have another sort of Corto Star Denman type scenario. Obviously that won't be played out at Cheltenham because Surname won't go there.
Yeah.
But I'd imagine every year, you know, Kempton, King George, if they get there fit and well, Surname and Clanders Ovo will be on the team sheet.
It's quite nice to have new kids on the block, isn't it?
Definitely, yeah.
Because right now, it might be that we listen back to this in a year's time and go, whoa, we got that wrong. But at the same time, it could be that you've called it spot on.
Yeah.
It's nice to be excited about it.
Yeah, and Paul Nichols will be very excited about it as well, because it's been 3 or 4 years, hasn't it, since he had, you know, since the golden era of all his better horses just kind of stopped, as it were. The likes of Corto Star, Denman, Masterminded,
Big Bucks,
yeah. All their, you know, the top level, genuine Grade One horses, dodging bullets. Of course, you probably wouldn't put in with those kind of class of horses, but he was a Grade One winning horse. So he'll be incredibly excited because he's suddenly got, you know, some good young horses, and that's the key point that you said there. They are young. You know, Clanders Ovo is 6, Surname is 7. And then you've got some really nice novice hurdlers and novice chasers as well. The likes of Top of the Game, who's a very, very good staying novice chaser. Frodon, of course, is still very young as well.
Yeah.
He can still progress. And then you've got the novice hurdlers, the likes of Grand Sonsi, Kel Destan, Getaway Trump, who was probably slightly better than his bet position in the Betfair hurdle. He's suddenly looking like he's... the next 3 years are quite rosy.
You mentioned a couple of other winners that he had yesterday. If we were just having an overview of Saturday's racing, what else stood out? Would it be another Nichols runner, or was there something else that really caught your eye?
I think it probably would be a slightly darker one. I've just mentioned him already, Getaway Trump in the Betfair hurdle. You look at, he was essentially beaten 6 or 7 lengths by Al Dancer into fourth. And you think, well, if he goes to the Supreme, how is he going to turn that around? But I urge you to watch that race again and note where, obviously, Al Dancer won it. Magic Dancer was 2nd. He was 20-1. Blue Cavalier was 3rd. He was 100-1. And for most of the race, those three were 1, 2, 3 in the running order. They were prominently ridden. They seemed to have something of a... they definitely did have an advantage through being ridden prominently, because it was a slowly run race and they kicked off the front. And the only horse that made up any notable ground from the rear was Getaway Trump. He was last at halfway. So factor in that 6 or 7 lengths that he was behind Al Dancer, and I'm sure you can make up that 6 or 7 lengths given the way that the race panned out.
Yeah.
So Al Dancer has been hammered into 4-1 favourite for the Supreme. I'd suggest Getaway Trump is probably about 20-1, I think. Now, to me, that's far too big a discrepancy. And that's purely on you look at the race, you look at the bare form, he's been beaten 6 lengths. Surely he should be 6 lengths behind in the Supreme. But actually, I wouldn't mind betting that Getaway Trump gets a lot closer to, and if not actually surpasses Al Dancer in the Supreme. So for me, looking at that Supreme, he would be a probably a fairly big each way bet getaway trump.
16s,
that's still yeah. too big for me.
Okay.
Look, in a race where obviously Al Dancer has parachuted himself into favouritism, Fakir Duderis is a juvenile. Like, he's a very good horse, but he's essentially still a juvenile. Juveniles do win the Supreme, they do run well in the Supreme, but he's still got a fair bit to prove. And then Angel's Breath is next in, who we haven't seen for a while. He's owned, of course, by the same owner as Al Dancer. So will he have two goes at the race? Will he try and split them up? To me, it looks a market now that is ripe for something at an each way price, and that on the evidence of yesterday is Getaway Trump.
Two more horses I want to mention, two older boys. Firstly, because no one seems to have mentioned him, Shades of Midnight winning at Aydock was brilliant, because he's just seems to have been around for so long, and he runs the same race no matter where, what. He just goes.
Yeah.
And if something's classy enough, it gets past him. There wasn't anything.
There was Yanworth, but he was off colour, wasn't he? Mm. He was pulled up before the last. And yeah, a great bit of placement from Sandy Thompson, because he's now got two wins out of the horse this year, one in a fairly valuable novice chaser at Kelso. He was an excruciatingly close second in the big fixed brush hurdle back at Haydock when beaten by Paisley Park. At the time, that looked like, okay, well, you know, that was an okay piece of handicap hurdle form. It's currently now looking like the best piece of staying hurdle form that there has ever been this year. So he's confirmed that form, and he did it really nicely, yeah, given a nice front-running ride by Henry Brook. He's still only nine. It feels like he's been around forever, because he had a good couple of seasons with Donald Willans, joined Sandy Thompson. I think he'll be better, granted a bit of soft ground as well.
Yeah.
So if we get a bit of, a wet enough spring, he's in the Ida Chase next weekend, which would probably come a bit soon. But maybe, you know, if they did go back over fences, something like the Scottish National, if they could guarantee a bit of soft ground.
Mm.
He's still a novice chaser. So he actually ran in the Cheltenham 4 miler last year, an unseated rider, when fairly well beaten. But I think he'd had a fairly rushed prep for that. He looks to me like a real strong stayer. If it came up soft on the first day and they wanted to go that way, I don't think he's actually even entered. So I wouldn't imagine they'd supplement him. So scrap that plan and go for where he turns up in a staying race next on soft ground.
And another strong stayer to mention actually ran on Sunday, Tiger Roll, with a ridiculous win.
Yeah.
Because I was covering a break on William Hill's Betting TV, so I didn't have the commentary on. I was doing a greyhound call, and I looked to the right and I saw Backerson under pressure, and thought, oh right, Backerson's not going to win. And then I saw a Jiggenstown horse going clear, and thought, well, which one's that then? And it popped up, Tiger Roll. You just think, Tiger Roll. But
yeah,
it was quite a performance.
Yeah, it was phenomenal, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You watch him through the race, he was, I mean, halfway down the back, he was absolutely pulling Keith Donoghue's arms out. He was tanking. And you think that, you know, into the straight, Gordon Elliott, he'll have left a bit to work on. You know, he's got his big target in 3 weeks' time. You know, he's going to maybe just lack for a bit of fitness. Against horses, you know, Off You Go, who has won a very valuable handicap a couple of weeks ago, who is race fit. Backerson is race fit. Cracking Smart is a big, strong, staying hurdler. You'd fancy he might just do him for a bit of stamina. That's not said that Tiger Roll doesn't have stamina, but just, yes, a bit of fitness maybe. But not a bit of it. Tiger Roll puts his head down and battles on that. Well, not even, he didn't even need to battle. He just, you know, ran on oh so willingly up that Navan straight, and nothing could live with him. And he, on current evidence, he's in the absolute form of his life. You know, and he, if he goes to Cheltenham in that kind of form, then he wins the cross-country chase again. And who's to say that he couldn't do the unimaginable double of winning the cross-country chase and the Grand National in consecutive years? That would be phenomenal.
5-4 now for the cross-country, 12-1 for the Grand National.
Yeah, I mean, that 5-4, it's a case of, will he go off shorter on the day? He potentially could do.
But personally, I'd leave it for now and back it on the day
yeah.
at 8 to 11, 4 to 5, when you know he's there.
Yeah, maybe.
You know what he's up against, maybe. But at the same time, you could look back at it and go, oh, odds against.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things. Likewise for the National. 12 to 1, on the face of it, seems short for a horse to go and win back-to-back Nationals. It just doesn't happen. But it can happen. We've seen it in the past. And again, that 12 to 1 on the day when this horse is going off 6 to 1 favourite for the race. Again, you're thinking, warning signs were there.
He won last year, obviously, the National officially off a mark of 150. Mm. But he carried 10 stone 13. Now, with the presence of Bristol Dumai in this year's National, he only carries 11 stone 1. He's obviously off 159, so he's off a much higher mark. But I think in terms of handicap marks in the National, you can almost overplay them. It's more just suitability for the test because, if you're £2 or £3 better off with another horse, that can be quickly wiped out by one slow jump.
Yeah.
And, you know, a horse falling in front of you, you lose 5 lengths. There's that £2 or £3 play gone. It's more a suitability for the test. And clearly Tiger Roll is very, very suitable for that test. And he seems so adept, so versatile in terms of ground as well. I mean, it was pretty good today at Navan. He's won very good races on good ground. He won the National on heavy. What a horse. Just what a versatile and unbelievably sound-minded horse. I mean, his mentality must just be one of an absolute warrior. and it'd be a pleasure to own.
I can't wait for the Grand National. I know we've got Cheltenham first, and there's plenty of good racing between now and then, but it's when you were talking about there, Will, and I just thought, hey, I'm excited for this. Yeah. You've sold it to me anyway.
Well, I'm definitely sold on it already.
Right, we have got to focus on Monday's action, which is, I don't want to say a bit of a come down, because the second race that we're going to focus on is actually really, really interesting. That's not to say that the first one isn't, of course. Well, we're focusing on two races at Lingfield. And don't forget, you can tune into William Hill Racing Radio tomorrow. John Gibby, Andy Gibson and Andy Holding in the studio. So good team, and make sure you join them for all of the action. 1:35 they'll be live from. We're going to focus on the second race at Lingfield first, Maiden Hurdle. And you've got a fancy here. 9 of them got a post.
Yeah, it's... It's not going to be much of a price. I do apologise. I'll sort of hopefully with these two tips, I'll give you one winner and then one that might run well at price. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it's two winners, of course. The first one, the 2:15, is a 2 mile maiden hurdle. It's a horse called Smith's Cross, who has long been on my radar to win a decent soft ground hurdle. Now, whether it be a decent soft ground novice hurdle or a decent soft ground handicap hurdle, he's been allotted a mark of 1:27 after two heavy ground runs at Forslass and Chepstow. Both of those, I believe, he's probably been slightly unlucky not to win, maybe slightly better than the bare form. But for now, I don't think he's even going to have to run to a mark of 1:27 to win this tomorrow. Mm. If you'd have asked me 2 days ago, I'd have probably thought, not really sure, because I haven't seen Michael Scudamore have too many runners. You know, how's the form of the yard? Since then, he had a winner yesterday, he had a winner today. So clearly the horses are going well. He's going to be odds on. If he's not odds on, I suggest you get your wheelbarrow and unload your savings onto him.
Gamble responsibly. Yeah.
That is responsibly. You carry me in a wheelbarrow. It's fine. No, he'll be. You know, I'd be amazed if he's not sort of, I don't know, 2 to 5, 1 to 3.
We will have specials as well on the day. So if you want to back him to win by X amount of lengths, that will be available on the Woody Boards.
I think that would probably be the way to go. I mean, it's going to be soft, heavy ground at Lingfield, which will be right up his street. He's not got a huge amount to beat in there. That might be the way to go. I think I could see him having a wide margin victory.
A slightly more competitive race coming up at 3:50 is the Surrey National. And I had to look twice here because I thought, the decks aren't through yet. No, they are. There's 17 runners.
17, yeah. It probably multi-factors here in terms of the ground is softer at Lingfield than it is anywhere else. We've had the equine flu break. There's a backlog of runners probably. It's not a particularly valuable prize considering it's a Surrey National. But that said, it might be that something connections of various horses have seen it in the calendar and thought, well, that's a good target for our horse that wants an endless sapping stamina test that this is going to be around Lingfield. It can get really bottomless at Lingfield, and I imagine now we've had a few drying days, it's going to be very tacky as well. So it's going to be a real, real test. And there's some horses in here that are perfectly suited to it, to that kind of test. The likes of Ballymailin, Knock and Rawley, Bob Ford, Grade A, Kilcullen, Flem. They're all, you know, standing dishes in these types of races. But it's one trained by Christian Williams, who is quite a sneakily forward-going trainer, actually, in the last few months or so. He's had lots of runners over at Fakenham, which would be a huge trek for his from his yard in Wales. And I think he's willing to think a little bit outside the box and go where the best chance of winning is. Now, he's yet to get a win out of this horse, but when trained by Paul Morgan, under similar ownership, actually, he rattled off a three-timer back in January and March of 2017, so 2 years ago, but that culminated in winning the Cambridgeshire National at Huntingdon on real soft ground off a mark of 1-2-3. Now, he's run in five handicap chases so far this season, the last three of which were notable for the fact that they were all over 3 miles and he was running on, I won't say strongly, he was running on steadily at the finish. But he wants it bottomless and he wants it as far as he can go. And I think that this will be a lovely test for him. I think Christian Williams has been trying to get some race fitness into him, and this is his assignment. So it's Court Frontier for Christian Williams. Right man on board as well, Tom O'Brien. And the cheap pieces go back on as well, which I guess is the final piece of the puzzle, just to allow Tom O'Brien to help him travel in the early stages of the race.
Lovely stuff. A couple of fancies then at Lingfield, one at a short price, one at hopefully a bigger one. So hopefully a winner or two. Two would be nice.
It would be very nice.
Would it be expected?
I hope so, rather than expected.
Okay. And check out all of the enhanced odds on the William Hill website, the specials as we mentioned, and the bet boosts as well, also available. Thank you, Will.
Thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.